Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Joshua, I wanted to ask you, good old pal, the Miami Dolphins, Mike Tannenbaum, did a mock draft about 3-4 weeks ago where he had the Dolphins selecting Jackson Powers Johnson with the first selection. We spent about a month jazzing this guy up. He was absolutely awesome in the Senior Bowl. The hype was building. We miss Mike Pouncey, right? You drafted a guy. He stepped in. He started for 7 years. No questions asked. Then that was the end of it. But as we go through this process, man, we've been creating content the whole time. There are ebbs and flows. People get hyped up. Things start to simmer. Am I crazy to say that despite us talking about a month ago that Jackson Powers Johnson could be Miami's first round selection, we could be happy about it? Could we get him in the second?
I mean, that's probably something I admittedly said I'm not keeping tabs on these mock drafts. That might be something better suited for Cat. But if they were to be able to get him on day two, I mean, that would be an absolute home run, right? So, Cat, do you think it's possible that Jackson Powers Johnson, because let's be honest, we're Dolphin fans. We overvalue some of these guys. I'll be the first one to admit I do it, right? I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this guy's a first round talent. He's probably second or third in the real world based on Houts's, parameter. So, I don't know if it's possible, but what we noticed over the last few years is anything's possible, and I would that'd be an absolute home run. I mean, even if he's just sitting there on day two, I mean, we're sitting there writing the Finsider articles about how the Dolphins need to trade up, you know, to get that first pick and land Jack, because I mean, that would be that type of value. So I basically said nothing. What do you think, Kat?
If Creed Humphrey could fall to the 63rd pick in the draft in 2021, I'll say Jackson Powers Johnson could fall to pick 55 this year. It's, and you're right. A couple of months ago, Jackson Powers Johnson at pick 21 was really someone who just about everybody wanted. And now it seems like that's cooled off and like, okay, this guy's a center, hold your horses. And he's not a absolutely dominant football player, but I have not cooled on him. I mean, when you look at pick number 21 and, you know, when we had one of our first segments here, as far as the draft is concerned, he was my number one guy after the top noticeable 13 or 14 players. I've lowered him maybe a couple of picks. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, for example, from Toledo, I would take there if both players were available. And there are a few other guys too, but I think too, don't overthink Jackson Powers Johnson. This is somebody who's barely 21 years old, has what's 650 plus pass protection snaps at Oregon, didn't allow one sack and just three or four pressures. And he creates this clean pocket for Bo Nix on each and every snap. That's what's needed right now with the Dolphins offensive line. You know, my best comparison with him, if you look at the Dolphins historically, is Richie Incognito. I mean, somebody who just did his job each and every play. Who created a clean pocket, who established an attitude up front. I think Jackson Powers Johnson would be that same type of player.
Now, Kat, I'm just trying to get the pulse here. Would you be upset if he was on the board at 21 and the Dolphins maybe traded down, let's say 5, 6, 7 slots, would you be annoyed that they're testing fate in a scenario like this? Or where would you start to say like, all right, we've gone too far. We got to, draft this guy. If there's a scenario they do, let's say, take a cornerback, maybe a safety there in the first round, how quickly into the second round are you trying to invest or get a payday loan on one of these third round picks that the Dolphins are going to be getting next year in order to jump up and get?
Well, if you were to trade down from 21 to, let's say, 27, 28, 29, you're probably only getting a fourth round pick. Like, I think it's easy to overvalue what the Dolphins would get in return. So if Jackson Powers Johnson is the guy that they wanted, and if he were the top guy on my board, yeah, I would be a little bit annoyed if they traded from 21 down to 28, got a fourth round pick, and then Powers Johnson was taken between 21 and 28. The consensus has Powers Johnson falling into the second round. So as far as I'm concerned, if you trade down and got him, great. If you traded up from 55, into early mid second round, like the Dolphins did a few years ago when they unfortunately took Liam Eichenberg, then I would be in favor of that too. So it's all about who's there and what type of value you're getting and what you'd be getting in a trade down or trade up.
Yeah, and I mean, as much of a cop-out as it is to say, I mean, it all depends on how that board looks, right? I mean, you mentioned Quinyon Mitchell. You mentioned some of these tackles that you like, defensive tackles in previous pods, pass rushers. I mean, if you're sitting there and you can trade on seven spots and you still have one of those guys that are highly valued on your board, it might feel a little bit easier to do that. But like I've been saying, I'm hopefully going to be cramming for the draft and doing some breakdowns. But I feel like ever since we've come on here, I've been set on Jackson Powers Johnson. I believe you just mentioned Richie Incognito, and now I can't unsee that because he kind of looks like a happier version, right? Like the 21-year-old, like he's not going to bully some. I guess he was, but I'm starting to see that now. And I'm wondering, I think it was Baldy that said, he just looks like a center in Miami. I'm starting to wonder if that's kind of what he meant. I mean, I know I'm thinking he meant someone else, but I would be all for Jackson Powers Johnson, whether it's at 21, whether you got to trade down. But like you guys have both said, it sounds like at least from a consensus standpoint, things are cooling. But how much of that is just, what these NFL teams want out there at this point?
Considering that Miami only has two picks in the first four rounds, they have a complete dry spell from picks 55 to about 150 or so. Knowing that, Kat, how much would you be willing to invest in moving up in the second round if it means you can get that second day one starter like Jackson Powers Johnson? Would you be willing to put one, maybe both of those third on the board? Or is that another scenario where the Dolphins might be going a little too crazy with maybe we see it happen with void years or restructuring contracts? I think the Dolphins have done a pretty good job this year of not, falling too far overboard. Where's that line you feel when it comes to draft and the draft war chest the Dolphins have?
If just looking at the players, if they were to fall into day two, the two guys that I would look at are, if they fell, and I don't expect them to, is Amarius Mims, Graham Barton, and Jackson Powers Johnson. If one of those three fell into the day two after the Dolphins picked whoever at 21, even if it is an offensive lineman, that would be something they might want to look at. And they would probably end up leveraging their compensatory third round picks for next year to be able to do that. So if you were to say, let's say, for example, someone falls to pick number 21, like Terrion Arnold, you don't expect him to be there, and the Dolphins made him their first round pick. And then now you get into day two and you see a Jackson Powers Johnson falling down to pick 38, 39. Yeah. I mean, I think those are two great players to start off your draft with, and, they wouldn't have anything really the rest of the draft, but that's okay in that circumstance. So yeah, it really has to be somebody special, because when you look at the rest of the offensive line class, it is very, very deep. I mean, you get into the second round, you're talking about someone like Patrick Paul from Houston, who's just exclusively a left tackle, but is 6'7", 330 pounds, has an incredible resume at Houston. Not much guard or right tackle versatility, but if you're looking for an heir apparent to Teron Armstead, maybe the Dolphins can sit back to pick 55 and end up getting a Patrick Paul. That would be somebody that would certainly be fascinating. Roger Rosengarten from Washington, Mel Kiper had him going late in the first round. He was the right tackle at Washington while Faiotano was the left tackle. And I believe that if Rosengarten didn't have a poor game in the national championship against Michigan, we would be talking about him as a late first, early second round lock. And compliment to Rosengarten on that is, 2 years ago when Michael Penix went from Indiana to Washington, they moved Rosengarten from left tackle to right tackle. And he has done a phenomenal job since then, other than the national championship game. Then he goes to the combine and runs a 4.9 at 6'5", 310 pounds. So with Rosengarten, you're talking about somebody who's like the ninth or 10th offensive tackle in the whole draft. And Mel Kiper's got him mocked at the end of the first round. That just shows how deep this offensive line class is.
And that's what's tough, right? You're sitting here and trying to weigh the pros and cons of, you know, drafting a guy at this spot in round one, opposed to maybe round two or even later. I know that this conversation kind of started with, would we be okay giving up those later picks? And I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm at the point where, you know, in previous years, maybe in another life, I was all for keeping those picks. But over these last few years, we've kind of been playing that F these picks, you know, kind of trying to see what we can do in this window. If you're giving up, you know, some third round picks later down the road to move up and get two, as you said, in Arnold, you know, maybe you get Jackson Powers Johnson or whatever, you're getting two impact players that can come in and start right away. If those are your guys and you're confident in that they're in their ability and their ability to come in and play right away, I'm fine with them emptying the chamber if that's what they have to do. And, you know, we worry about the future when that time comes, because every day it seems like we're getting further and further down the road from this Dolphins window. And I'm okay if they have to empty the chamber now to bring in those impact players.
Kat, where are you feeling on someone like Zach Frazier? What's the drop off from someone like Jackson Powers Johnson to Frazier? Because I think it's the draft developments I've been reading are just so unique, because if I look at all the tackles, we talk about how deep of a class this is. It's great. But then once we start looking at interior linemen, I'm just using the PFF big board right here. They have JPJ as their 19th rated player, Frazier at 31, then the number 3 rated guard, Christian Mahogany from Boston College, he's all the way down at 92. So does it start to get a little awkward at some point there, late second, early third?
You know, Zach Frazier, I've seen projected a little bit higher. Consensusly, and if you're somebody who liked Creed Humphrey 3 years ago, it's impossible not to like Zach Frazier. He's more that strictly center, born to play center, wrestling background, just a great, great film, consistent from snap in and from snap in to snap out, can also play some guard too. So I like that. Yeah, it gets interesting with the pure center guard class, because to me, after Faotano, if you count him as a guard, he's clear number one. Then you've got probably Graham Barton consensusly is the second guy, and then Jackson Powers Johnson's the third guy. You may be able to flip-flop Powers Johnson, Barton, based on who you talk to. And then you've got a lot that doesn't separate there. But Zach Frazier, I would think, as far as interior lineman, has to be fourth. And then fifth, yeah, Christian Mahogany – more if I'd say a late third, but Christian Haynes is the guy that has been projected most to the Dolphins in the second round out of UConn. And this guy's 6'3", he's 317 pounds, has great movement skills, but I'm not as high on as a lot of other people. I'd like him more in like the third or fourth round, not the second round. He comes in real high out of his stance, and I think there's a lot of leverage things that he would need to work on. So that's the thing that has to factor into this with the Dolphins, you know, at offensive line, at least for me, is that once you get past the first round, is somebody going to fall to 55? And if not, are you going to take a pure guard at that spot in 55, like a Christian Haynes? To me, the answer is no. So I prefer to like do a trade down in the first round. Miami.